This is Dina Marie, host of Faith Moments and the Voice of the Shepherd, with a special Christmas Franciscan moment on Mater Dei Radio. As Christians prepare to celebrate the birthday of the Christ child, one of the most beloved and popular traditions for many families is to display a nativity scene in their home, as children carefully place the figures of the Holy Family, barnyard animals, the shepherds, wise men, and camels all around the manger scene. One can only wonder, what was it like on that first holy night, the night the angels made their way to the shepherds to proclaim glory to God in the highest? With me to help us reflect upon that first nativity scene is Franciscan Friar Father Dan Petit. Good morning, Father Dan. It's great to have you joining us on this final few days of Advent.
Yes, thank you, Dina Marie. Good to be with you too and your audience as we draw closer to the city of Bethlehem.
Yes, I wanted to do that. And I think through the eyes of St. Francis, we have this beautiful tradition of really seeing the nativity scene come alive. But St. Francis had a special moment on one midnight mass night on that Christmas Eve. And I wanted you to take us back to one of the last years of the life of St. Francis and what he encountered in really reliving the Holy Family at that moment of the birth of Christ. Take us back to the life of St. Francis in that time of celebrating Christmas.
Yeah, it was a time in Francis's life. He had just been through the most difficult time of his life because the rule of 1223, the final rule that the friars live by today in the First Order, was finalized and approved by the Pope in that fall. And so December, Francis wanted to do something special in drawing closer to Christ and almost to revive his faith once again in Jesus. Because it was a very difficult time for him finalizing the rule. There were some things he had to give up. There were some things that resistance that he had to deal with. And it was a hard time for him. But nonetheless, he comes out of that period. He's got the rule finalized. It's the Christmas of 1223. And he asked John of Valita, who was a third order member of the Franciscans in Grecio, if he would be willing to set up a nativity scene with real live animals and hay. And he asked him specifically to set it up in such a way that the inconvenience to the Word of God would be most evident, and his poverty by being placed in the manger and the like. So John of Valita actually set that up for Francis, so that when Francis arrived, it was already set. And also he had people send out announcements around the region of Grecio, inviting people to come to this particular mass that Francis would be at. To celebrate this momentous birth of Christ in this particular way. It was the first time anyone had ever done this. And it was at Francis's inspiration that this John of Valita, he was also a knight of Grecio, and he set it up, and Francis arrived, he saw the crowds, and he was just ecstatic with what he saw, because his heart was so moved by the poverty of this stable that John had set up.
And this was outside in kind of the wilderness, so to speak, as Francis is coming together for this midnight mass.
Yeah, it was outside. It was outside, actually, in a stable with real animals. The ox, the lambs were there. They had the manger, of course. The manger is a feeding trough for animals, and they had it full of hay. And all the hay was strewn about. And then over, just behind the manger, where the Christ child would be laying, they set up an altar, and they actually had midnight mass there with the priest celebrating. And Francis was a deacon, and he was in his deacon vestments and proclaimed the gospel, sang the gospel, and then preached that night as well. And it was attended by so many people. And what's remarkable is you get a real slice of the church here. There were noblemen, noble women, there were poor, there were knights, there were very high dignitaries, there were poor workers, cloth workers, all this full spectrum of the society there in Grecio at the time that attended this. And that really is the church. That's who we are, you know.
Right. I'm talking with Father Dan Petit, Franciscan friar, and we're reliving that one holy night, Saint Francis getting the inspiration. And this really hadn't been done before of really bringing this is a live nativity scene together. But you mentioned poverty, and we connect with Saint Francis, a poverty of spirit, the humility, and maybe reflect a little bit more as Francis is really, he's undergone such, difficulties, challenges, enduring the way of the cross, and yet he has this poverty of spirit. What can we learn from him in this time of Christmas?
Well, Francis, St. Francis, I mean, this is one of the secrets, I think, to being able to approach Jesus. It's kind of like Jesus asking when he heard that John the Baptist sent messengers, are you the one or do we look for another? Because even John was like, boy, you're not quite what I was expecting. And that is something about the poverty of God in Jesus Christ. It's so humble that it sets you aside for a moment. And it's like unbelievable that the God who created us would be this humble. And see, Francis was so alive to that poverty of God, that humility of God in Jesus Christ. In fact, his whole life, I think you could describe after his conversion as one lengthy attempt that Francis made to draw closer to Christ in his humility and to the Blessed Mother in her humility. And every morning he woke up, he was out-trumped by the humility of God in Jesus Christ and by the humility of the Blessed Mother. But he kept striving, and it does take determination because it's so unbelievable that our God, who created this entire universe, would be so lowly and humble as to be born not even in a palace, a royal palace. Like Jesus said to the people about John the Baptist, what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see someone in royal clothing? And he said, no, you go to a royal palace to find them. So what did you go out to see? Well, what do we go out to see in the manger? And you'll be surprised. There's so much humility there and lowliness. Francis was so alive to that, and his heart just warmed up to the whole scene of this creche scene, the scene of the little animals, the lambs, the oxen. He's in a manger on top of hay. He's not in a comfortable bed. Just the utter poverty of that so moved Francis that night that he fell in love again with Jesus all over again.
Right. And what do we know, Father Dan, in terms of the writings that were done to account for this night, the response from the people around this scene, how did they respond to such a night?
Well, it was especially moving because Francis, at one point while he was preaching, reached down to pick up the infant that was there in the manger. And of course, it wasn't a live infant. But as he picked it up, he began to preach. And as he was preaching, there was some of them report at least that the baby came alive in the arms of Francis. And Solano kind of meditates on that for a moment, and he says that it was through Francis and his preaching that the Christ child was awakened in the hearts of the faithful. And that was what the effect was on the people that night, is Christ was asleep in the hearts of the faithful. That was the first message of the first Sunday of Advent. Stay awake. Well, that means we can fall asleep on him. And that night, the effect that Francis had on the people was to awaken the Christ child in the hearts of everyone that was there, and their faith revived, and they rejoiced and they celebrated, and it was so full of light and love and a lot of peace, the peace of Grecio, they talk about it. Because Francis awakened Christ that night in the hearts of the faithful by his preaching. And that's really renewing the church. That's what church renewal is that awakening.
Right. Father Dan Petit with us again as we prepare very close to the celebration of Christmas. Father Dan, I have some more questions I want to ask you as we really reflect upon looking at Christmas through the eyes of Saint Francis, but I am coming up to a break. Can you stay with me and we'll continue our conversation in the next half hour?
Sure thing.
This is Dina Marie, and I'm back with Franciscan Friar Father Dan as we are preparing for the way of Christmas. We're taking you back to that one holy night as Saint Francis in 1223 decided to bring the nativity scene to the people and make it come alive. And as you said, Father Dan, awaken Christ, the babe of Bethlehem in our hearts. And that's really the call of Christmas, is to bring Christ alive. He is alive, but do we recognize him? And do we respond to that salvation that he gives us? You talk about this manger scene, Father Dan, as we talked earlier this hour. What are some of the things that happen following that Christmas night? What do we know about maybe some of the miraculous happenings that came from that holy night?
Well, at least what Thomas of Celano reports is that he said some of the faithful there, they wanted to take the hay with them home, and they did. I mean, they got some of the hay. There was so much of it there, and their animals, a lot of them, never got sick. Some of them that were sick were healed, and the other thing that was somewhat miraculous was that many difficult pregnancies were smoothed out, and they had, because back then, of course, they didn't have the medicine we have, and births could be very difficult. But with this hay, they had a lot of births that were kind of leveled out and smoothed out for women, and they attributed that to this hay from this Greccio scene as well.
It's so
And
beautiful.
so, yeah, so there was really, I mean, the beauty of it is the way in which all of creation benefited that night because of the birth of Christ. You know, one of the things that strikes me, and this is an insight of Saint Bonaventure. We've talked about Saint Bonaventure before, the great saint and doctor of the Franciscans. He saw at Greccio, he saw the bringing together of the animals, the lower creatures, with the angels, the higher creatures, being mediated by Christ. Christ brings the whole of creation together in a way that brings it into peace. And for Bonaventure, that's real peace, is when the heavens and the earth come together in reconciliation. And of course, if you have angels singing Hosanna, glory to God in the highest, and then you have these oxen sitting there and everything in between, all at peace.
Well, and those are some of the readings from Isaiah that we hear in the Advent season are all of these different creatures, the predator and the prey, but they all come in harmony. There's this harmony that when the second coming comes, when the kingdom is here, there will be such harmony and peace. And isn't that what Francis strived for? Was harmony.
It was harmony and reconciliation. Paul said the spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the spirit in us because we were born in original sin. There's this animosity between the spirit and flesh in us. Francis, because he appropriated the grace of his baptism, brought spirit and flesh back to peace and harmony, so that Bonaventure interpreted him in some ways to be restoring us to that human nature before the fall by the grace of Christ. Healed, where spirit and flesh were at peace. And when that happened, of course, even the lower creatures, wanted to be around Francis. They wouldn't leave him. He always had a trail of bunnies following him everywhere. Crickets sang to him. The birds sang, and he had to tell them a couple of times, please wait till I finish preaching, and then you can praise God. They can't hear me, and they would obey, But he also had angels visit him. You see, the full spectrum of creation comes to peace when you and I bring spirit and flesh together in harmony, and the grace of Christ is the way to that. And so the peace isn't just a psychological thing, it's also metaphysical as well, across the full spectrum of creation, from the angels all the way down to the little oxen and the bunnies and the lambs that were there that night. And
Right.
it's
Right.
profound. It's very deep.
You know, Father Dan, as we approach our own Christmas, and I know everybody looks forward to seeing that nativity scene. I do. When I go into that church on midnight mass, I want to see that nativity scene. I want to just have that moment of peace and quiet with the Lord and with the Holy Family. You know, how can we prepare to really embrace that babe in Bethlehem, maybe different than we have in the past?
Well, approaching the Christ child in Bethlehem is something like this. It's something like getting a chair and going to a cornfield and sitting there for about 2 hours and watching it grow. You would swear there's nothing going on, kind of like when you go to adoration. Well, there's nothing going on here. It's like, so why should I'm wasting my time here. You might feel like you're wasting your time watching corn grow, but over a 2 hour period, it certainly has grown if it's in the sunshine, but it's so slow. We lose patience. We lose patience and we become impatient. And that's how lowly this growth is in Christ. He's growing within us and we lose patience and we think he's not there, but he is there. And our faith needs to revive, to be present to his real presence to us. And that's, I think, very necessary for us as we go closer to Christ at Christmas, especially because he's so lowly, he's so humble. It takes faith to perceive him there, and to perceive this lowly shoot sprouting from a dead stump. You wouldn't expect that. And yet, from that shoot, which is the Blessed Mother coming from this dead stump, sprouts this blossom, and there it is. You don't expect it coming from the dead stump, but there it is, and it's our faith that allows us to approach instead of missing it because we get impatient or what have you. And I think it does take patience for us, kind of like the farmer who watches the seed grow,
Right. What a great message we did get from St. James. And I think just going back to that reading that we heard on the third Sunday of Advent to remind ourselves, a lot happens, but in God's time. And we
There
need to
it
let God do his part. And we continue to move forward in faith and hope and love, those virtues that continue to grow. I want to ask you while we still have a few more minutes, Father Dan, we know so much is connected between the Holy Land and the Franciscans. The Franciscans, for hundreds of years, have taken care of holy sites. What is that connection with our Holy Land and the Franciscan community?
Well, as you might recall, of course, we had the Crusades, and the purpose of the Crusades in the church was to go back and regain the Holy Land from the Muslims who had taken them over. Well, Francis went down there in 1219. As you know, he went to Damietta, and the famous story of him coming before the Sultan preaching Christ, which would have, in any other venue, meant his death because the name Jesus would have meant martyrdom, You weren't allowed to name Jesus in Muslim territories. And he was preaching to the Sultan, the religious leader of the whole region. And to Francis's disappointment, he wasn't martyred. And instead, he got an armed guard from the Sultan back to the front line of the Christians in safety because he had so been taken by Francis, the Sultan had. And as a result of that encounter, the Sultan permitted the Franciscans to take care of the holy sites in the Holy Land because he so trusted their founder, Francis. Of course, when Francis got back to Italy after that occasion, of having tried to convert the Sultan to Christ, when he got back, that was the period from late 1220 to early 1221 until this time of Grecia. That's when he had to work out the details of the rule, and it was like his real dark period of hard time. And so the Franciscans gaining access to the Holy Land was because of Francis's preaching. And then Francis came back and he ends up finalizing the rule that governs the life of these Franciscans that actually go down into the Holy Land and they start having care of the holy sites because the Muslim leaders so trusted their founder. And it's really amazing how all of that links together, you know, Francis and the Holy Land there.
It is amazing when we start to look at just one small step forward. You know, Francis's willingness to go and to engage in this conversation, and yet look at what a bridge the Lord is working in his mighty ways in our humility and our willingness to just do this next thing. And
And I think it's important you say, well, how you said that. It's like the Lord was working. I mean, Francis was hoping to be martyred. And instead, the Lord built a bridge.
yeah, it is so beautiful. It is so beautiful. Again, Father Dan Petit with us, Franciscan friar, as we reflect upon Saint Francis and the babe in Bethlehem. And I hope that our listeners and our viewers will just have a new appreciation, maybe new eyes to look at that nativity scene this year. And as you're maybe unpacking it in your own home, that you just gently put those figures around and then spend some time in meditation and to see how those figures will grow in your own heart. And let's awaken the Christ child in our lives today. Father Dan, I just want to thank you for spending Advent with us, and have a blessed Christmas as we enter into the season. I'm looking forward to having you back in 2023. Would you help us close with a prayer and blessing?
Sure, let's pray. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for the revival of our faith in you as the Son of the living God. Help us draw closer to you and also to Mary, our mother, and Saint Joseph, the Holy Family, that we may together celebrate Christmas this year through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And the blessed mighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you now and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Dan, and have a blessed day.
Thank you. Good to be with you again.